Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Mem Tes. We left off on the very top of Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Goldabas Simcha Shalom. It's also sponsored by Henry and Mindy Orlinsky, Lezech Nishmas, Henry's father, Menachem Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Yisrael, the only survivor of his family of 10 children who volunteered to fight in Israel in 1948 and then rebuilt generations of Shomrei Torah Mitzvos with Emuna Pshuta, as Nesham Shavn Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Alvin Siegel and family in memory of Alvin's mother, Esther Bas Tzvi Elimelech HaKohen, whose yard site is today. For Nesham Shavn Aliyah, we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss today is we've been talking about when Masar Shluchei Av L'Shluchei Abal, when a girl goes from the father's house to the husband's house, but she's sort of in transit. So what's the halacha, the Gemara is going to wonder, if she's given to the Shluchei Abal, but then she goes back to the Beis Av instead of following through and going all the way to the Beis Abal, and then she's Mizana. So do we assume that she's Chayiv Skila, like an Aru Marasa, or she's Chayiv Chenek, like a regular Eishas Ish? That's going to bring us to the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to talk about a father's obligation or lack thereof to support his daughters. And the Gemara is going to have three different opinions about a father's obligation to support his sons and daughters. Is it a chiyuv? Is it a mitzvah? Is it neither? We're going to have three different opinions, and we're going to try to figure out which, if any, of those opinions align with the Tana of our Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to start the sugya of Takonas Usha, that when the Sanhedrin went to all these different galios, one of the galios that the Sanhedrin went to, and when it left the Lishchas HaGazis, was Usha, and they made a number of Takonos in Usha. So we're going to have the first two in today's daf. The first possible Takonas Usha, it's a whole discussion whether there ever was such a Takonas Usha, but the first possible Takonas Usha was a Takana for a father to support his children, which very clearly relates to our Mishnah, and that's why it comes up over here. The second potential Takana Susha that we're going to discuss was that if someone gives all of his nechasim to his children, then Usha, they made a Takana that he and his wife can still be supported from those nechasim, meaning if he gives it as a gift to his children, and he's still alive, but he gave everything to his children, so he's got nothing, so then he and his wife are still supported from those nechasim. That was a second Takana Susha that we will discuss in today's daf. So let's begin at the very top of daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. So says Gemara Ve'ema Hecha Da'adra Le'Beinasha Hadra Le'Milsa Kamaisa. Maybe we could say in a case where the girl goes back to her father's house before the shluchim have given her over to the husband, maybe she goes back to having the status of a Naro Marasa, insofar as she'd be Chayiv Skila if she had Znus at that point in time. Maybe she's not Chayiv Chenek like a regular Eishas Ish. Maybe going back with Beis Aviyah would put her back in the category of a Narum Rasa. So says Gemara, well, let's see. Amarava, who Kvar Paska, Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. This Shaila was already dealt with by the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel discusses a din in Hafaras Nidarim, where the Pasuk says, Vinei Dralmano Grusha Kalasher Asra Al Nafsha Yakum Aleha, that an Almana or Grusha, neither her father nor her husband could be made for her Nidarim. So Matam Lomar, what's the Chiddush of that pasuk? Valo mutzis mechlalav, umutzis mechlalbal. We know that she's an almana and a grusha, so she doesn't have anyone to be made for her nedarim. Who would be able to be made for her nedarim? She's no longer in the rishus of the father once she got married to a husband. She's no longer in the rishus of a husband when the husband either died or they got divorced. So if she's either an almana or a grusha, isn't it obvious that neither the father nor the husband could be made for her nedarim? Ella, so what's the pasuk talking about? Hare shemasar av l'shluchei abal, o shemasu shluchei av l'shluchei abal, v'nisam l'bederecho niskarsha. Maybe it's talking about a case where she was given over to the shluchei abal, but then it never came to fruition. She became an almana before she got to the baal's house. The baal died. Or before she got to the baal's house, he had sent other shluchim with a get to give her a get, that she got divorced, so she never made it that far. So hechani kariba beis aviyah shel zu. So what should we? What status should we give her? Should we assume that she's still in beis aviyah and her father could be made for nedarim, or beis baal shel zu, or she's already in the beis baal and therefore the father cannot be made for the nedarim because she's left to the rishus of the father? Ella, that's what the pasuk is telling me. Lomer lach kibbut shiatz shachas b'rishus ha'av shuvei niyach lahafer. That once she's left the rishus of the father, meaning she she's been handed over to the Shluchei HaBaal, the father no longer has rights in Hafaras Nedarim, because she, through the giving over to the Shluchei HaBaal, she's out of the father's Rishus, and she can never return to the father's Rishus. So that's what the Tanya Devei Rabbi Shmuel taught us about Nedarim. But Memela, the same would be true about if she's Mizana, that even though she went back to the father's house before she ever made it to the Beis Bailus, she doesn't go back to being a Narum Rasa. So just like by Nedarim, she doesn't go back to the father's jurisdiction for Narum Rasa, she doesn't be, for Legabez Nus also, she doesn't go back to being Bereshus Avia when it comes to Narum Rasa. Now the Gemara in yesterday's daf had said we had a Machlokas Amorayim whether a husband is made for Nedareha as soon as she's given over to the Shluchei HaBaal. And the Maskana of the Gemara, the way Rashi learned it, is that we pass like Shmuel that a husband cannot be made for the Nedarim because we had a Braisa that was against all the other Shitos. Right? So we said that we must pass like Shmuel that once she goes to Shluchei HaBaal, the husband still can't be made for a Nedarim, which implies that the father can be made for the Nedarim and she's not really Yatza Mirushuso, even though she's been given over to the Shluchei HaBaal. Now from this Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, it's clear the opposite, that as soon as she's given to the Shluchei HaBaal, the father loses the rights in Hafaras Nedarim, so much so that even if she returns the Beis Avia, the father doesn't have a right to do the Hafaras Nedarim. It's difficult. It's against the whole Gemara we did yesterday. So Tosas already on yesterday's Daf and Dibur Maskul Shmuel asked this Kasha on Rashi. So the Rishonim explained within Shitas Rashi that no, all Shmuel had said was that from the time she's Nimsar to Shluchei HaBaal, the father is unable to be made for the Nedarim. It never said that the husband is able to be made for the Nedarim. So the Gemara had said, the Gemara said that the Baal is not able to be made for the Nedarim. It never said that the father is, so okay, maybe the father is also not able to be made for the Nedarim. And that's what the Tanya Devei Rabbi Shmuel is telling us, that as soon as she's given over to the Shluchei Baal, she's in no man's land. No one is able to be made for the Nedarim. And not only that, the Tanya Devei Rabbi Shmuel is adding, even if she goes back Lebeis Aviyah at that point, no one's able to be made for the Nedarim. But anyway, that's what we wanted to be poshet. The Shaila was, what if she's Mizana at that point? Can she go back to being a Narum Rasa? So he said, Legabe Afaris Nedarim, she doesn't go back to being a Narum Rasa, and therefore Legabe Znus as well, she would not go back to being a Narum Rasa. So Amar Rav Papa, Afananami Tanina, I'll bring you a raya from our Mishnah. Haba al Narum Rasa Enu Chayiv, if someone is Baal Narum Rasa, he's not going to be Chayiv Skil until she meets all of the following criteria. Achete Nara, Pesula, Ma'urasa, Vihi Bevesavia. Four criteria. What do these four criteria mean? So Bishlam and Nara v'lo Bogeres. Nara means that she has to be at the stage of Narus, that she's not yet a Bogeres. A Bogeres is not, would not be Chayiv Skila. Second, Besula v'lo Be'ula. She has to be Besula, she cannot be a Be'ula. Be'ula would not be Chayiv Skila. Third, Ma'urasa v'lo Nesua. She has to only be Be'erusin with her husband, but not Be'nisuin with her husband. And what's the fourth criteria? Be'besavia limu. What's that coming to be? Ma'et? Every arusa is beveis aviha, meaning a nesua is beveis baila. So every arusa is beveis aviha. So what's it adding when it says beveis aviha? Lav lemute masrav l'shulchei baal. It must be coming to be ma'et if the father's already sent her on the path, on the way, and he's given her over to the shulchei baal. So since she's no longer beveis aviha, she's no longer beskila. So that's the raya that you see, that once the father gave her to the shulchei baal, she no longer has the status of Narum Rasa. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Avinanami Tanina. I could bring you a raya from another from another Mishnah. Haba al Eishes Ish. If someone is Baal and Eishes Ish, Kivet Shenichlus al Rishos Habal Nisuin, Aval Pi Shalom Nivela, Habal Reza Bechenek. That once she had Nisuin with her husband, even if she did not yet have Bia with her husband, if she cheats on her husband at that point, the Chiyuv is only Chiyuv Chenek, not a Chiyuv Skila. Nichnas al Rishos Habal Bialma. Shema Mina. So you see that from the fact that the Mishnah said Nichnas Rishus HaBaal Bialma, it didn't say Nichnas HaLuchupa. It just says that Kivin Shnichnas HaLuchus HaBaal. It didn't say Nichnas HaLuchupa. So you see that even if it was, she was only given to the Shluchei HaBaal, not that she actually had Chupa, that would be enough to change her Misa from Skila to Chenek, so it stays at Chenek, Shema Mina, and therefore we have a clear Raya to that position that she's Chayiv Chenek and not Skila. Okay. Okay, so now we pick up with the new Mishnah in the middle of Mem Tes Amar Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us that Beis Din is Mechayev. We're going to have a Mishnah later on, Daf Nun Beis, that Beis Din is Mechayev everybody to write a ksuba to their wives, and in the ksuba that the daughters that they have together are going to be supported from the ksuba until they get older. However, that's only, our Mishnah is going to tell us, that obligation that he signs on to in the ksuba to support the daughters is only after he dies, that his estate is going to support the daughters. What about while he's still alive? Is he obligated to support his daughters? Ha'av eino chayiv b'mizonos bito. A little bit surprising. The father, while he's alive, is not chayiv in supporting the daughters. Zem medrash tarish Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah necham b'kerem b'yavne. This is something that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshened in front of the Chachamim in Keren B'Yavna. I think some young men from our shul are going to Keren B'Yavna tonight, so that's a Daf Yomi coincidence. So this is not the same Keren B'Yavna, but still. So this was something that they darshened in Keren B'Yavna. Habanim Yershu v'Habanos Yizanu, that the banim that are born from that you'll give birth to from me will be Yoresh, the money for the Ksuba, and the daughters will get Mizonos. So we link those two things. Ma habanim in yorshin al lachar misa sa'av, just like the sons will only get the Yerusha of the ksuba, that the nedunya that their mother brought in, only after the father dies, af habanos say mizonos al lachar misa savien. So too, the mizonos that he's obligating himself in the ksuba to support his daughters is only after the father dies. So two curious things about our Mishnah. First of all, it only said that there's no chiyuv to support the daughters. It didn't say whether one ought to support the daughters, whether there's a mitzvah to support the daughters. Second of all, it never spoke about the sons. Is he obligated to mizonos? We're talking about little children over here. What difference does it make if it's little boys or little girls? It never spoke about whether he has a chiyuv in mizonos banav. So both of those points are picked up on by the Gemara right away. B'mizonos bito hudeinu chayiv, haba mizonos b'no chayiv. One diuk to make from our Mishnah is that it only says he's not chayiv to support the daughters. The implication is that he is chayiv to support the sons. Is that really the implication? A number of the Achronim point out, I don't know that I would have made that diuk, that he's not chayiv b'mizonos bito, and therefore must be that he's chayiv b'mizonos b'no. Maybe the Mishnah, it says ha'aveinu chayiv b'mizonos bito, so that you don't make a mistake of thinking that the Tanaik Suba that you actually write, that you're going to give mizonos bito, applies while she's alive. Meaning only by mizonos bito would there be a hava amina that there is a chiyuv. By b'no, there's no hava amina, because it never says in your ksuba that you're supporting the sons. But it does say in the ksuba you're supporting the daughters. So I might have thought that tonight ksuba kicks in even while he's alive. So that's what the Maharim Shif points out. He doesn't understand the diuk the Gemara is making. Pnei Yeshua says he also doesn't understand the diuk the Gemara is making. Maybe bito is l'rabusa, that even though bito maisi adel La'avia, that even though her Maisi Adayim goes to the father, still he's not Chayiv Midor Raisa to give Mizonos to the daughter. So that's the Chiddush, but maybe it's obvious that the sons, he's not Chayiv to give him a zonos. So it's a curious diuk that the Gemara makes, but that's diuk number one the Gemara makes, is that it says that he's not chayiv to give him a zonos to the daughters, implying that he is chayiv to give him a zonos to the sons. And then, bitonami, a second diuk to make, even by the daughters, chovu hudaleka hamitzvah ika. It says that he's not chayiv to give him a zonos to the daughters, but the implication is that there is a mitzvah, that it is ideal, that he is encouraged to give him a zonos to the daughters, so money must nisen. If that's the case, if both of these diukim are correct, it would turn out that Klapei's daughters, no chiyuv, but yes mitzvah. Klapei's sons, even a chiyuv. Well, then it would turn out, lo Rabbi Meir, lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. We have three shitos in Tanaim about what a person's obligations are in mizonos toward his sons and daughters. None of those three are reflected in our Mishnah. Ditanya, where do we see these three different shitos? You have a brisa. Mitzvah lozenes habanos, v'kal v'chomer labanim. That there's a mitzvah to give mizonos to the daughters, and kal v'chomer, there's such a mitzvah to the banim. Where is the mitzvah? So the Rashbam, Babashukov Memal says, Pasuk says, v'mubsarcha al tisalim, that a person has to take care of his flesh and blood. So you have to, you have a mitzvah That's the mitzvah, to provide mazonos for one's sons and daughters. So, why is it a kal v'chomer to the banim? Da'aski b'torah, because the banim are osik in Torah, and therefore it's kal v'chomer. If you even have to support those who are not osik in Torah, so kal v'chomer, the sons who are osik in Torah, div Reb Meir, that's Reb Meir Shita. Tosfos raises the question, is that really a kal v'chomer? Because women are not chayiv in Talmud Torah. So because the sons are osik in Torah, that's going to be a greater reason to give them mazonos. The Gemara later on in the Masechta is going to say that the fact that banim are osik b'torah is not a svara for them to get more Yerusha than the daughters. So the Gemara explicitly deals with such a svara of banim being osik in Torah and says that that alone would not be a svara to give them more Yerusha. So Tosfos asks, why is it a svara over here to say that they're more likely to have a mitzvah to give them mazonos than it is the daughters? So Tosfos says, l'gabi Yerusha da'oraisa, it's not a svara to be mafsid the banos, the chelik that they deserve. Just because the brothers are living in Torah, but whenever it comes to takanami drabanan, the rabbanan often made takanos to encourage Torah learning, to do whatever they can to support Torah learning. So it's likely that on a drabanan level, that if they're encouraging someone as a mitzvah to support their children, it's likely that the rabbanan will try to maximize using the force of takanos drabanan, will try to maximize Torah learning with that. Okay, that's how Tosfos understands. But again, the first shita is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds a chiyuv, neither banim or banos. A mitzvah, both banim and banos. If there's a mitzvah to support banos, kal v'chomer, there's a mitzvah to support banim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I agree with your conclusion, but not the way you got there. Mitzvah lozim esabanim. It's a mitzvah to give mazonos to sons. V'kal v'chomer lebanos mishum zilusa, and all the more so, it's a mitzvah to support the banos, because it would be a terrible zilusa of the banos to have to go around collecting money. That we want to save the dignity of the young women. Nafkamina between Shitz Rav Meir and Shitz Rav Yehuda, meaning Lechara, they're both saying that it's no chiyuv on either, yes mitzvah on both. So the Mai Nafkamina, Rabbi Kiveger and Josh Mechidish says, Nafkamina is if you don't have enough money for both. According to who gets Kedima? So according to Rav Meir, the Banim get Kedima because they're Osik B'Torah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Banos get Kedima, Mishum Zilusa, that it's more important that they not be humiliated by going by being Machzer al Psachim. Then the third Shita, Rabbi Yochanan broke Omer, he actually says a different conclusion. Chova lozun es habanos lachar misas avien, aval b'chayei avien, elu ve'elu einan izonin. He says there is a chiv to feed the daughters, but that's only lachar misa, that's the Tanai Ksuba lachar misa. While the father's alive, neither sons nor daughters get mezonos, not even b'toras mitzvah. So there's no obligation and no mitzvah to give banum ubanos. So mani masnisin, so who's the author of our Mishnah? Both of our D.U. are correct in our Mishnah, so we wanted to say that there's no chiyuv to support the banos, but there is a chiyuv to support the banim, a chiyuv to support the banim, and that it's a mitzvah to support the banos. So say, Rabbi Meir, if it's going like Rabbi Meir, hamar banim mitzvah. Rabbi Meir says banim are only a mitzvah, not a chiyuv. Our diuk from our Mishnah was that our Mishnah is saying that it's a chiyuv to support the banim, and Rabbi Yehuda hamar banim nami mitzvah, and Rabbi Yehuda says that even though banim are not as important as banos, but there's still a mitzvah to support. It's only a mitzvah to support the banim, and not only the banos, but it's not a chova to support the banim. And Rabbi Yochanan Broka, afilu mitzvah nami leka. And Rabbi Yochanan Broka says it's not even a mitzvah to support the banim or the banos. And according to the way we were dying from our Mishnah, it's a mitzvah to support the banos and a chova to support the banim. So it fits none of the three shitos. Says Gemara, it fits all three shitos. Iba yisem Rabbi Meir, Iba yisem Rabbi Yehuda, Iba yisem Rabbi Yochanan Broka. We can reconcile our Mishnah with each of these three shitos, and we now will reconcile our Mishnah with each of these three shitos. Iba yisem Rav Meir, it could be that our Mishnah is following the shita of Rav Meir, that there's a mitzvah to support the banos, and therefore kal v'chomer a mitzvah ben adachiv to support the banim v'hachi kamer. And the Tana of our Mishnah is telling us, ha'avinu chayiv b'mezonos bito v'hu adin l'bno, the father is not chayiv in the mezonos of his daughter, v'hu adin the mezonos of his son, he has no chiyuv, ha'mitzvah b'bito ika v'kal v'chomer l'banim. And the only diuk we're supposed to make from our Mishnah is no chiyuv, but yes mitzvah to support the daughters, and therefore on our own we should conclude and kal v'chomer that there's also a mitzvah to support the banim. V'ayduk tani bito, why did it only say bito? If they has same din, a bas and a ben of the same din. Hakamashulan, it's telling us the following chiddush: da afilu bito chova hu deleka mitzvah ika, that even the daughter there is no chiyuv. I mean, meaning one might have thought that if the Tana would have said the father is not chayiv in the mezonos b'no, I would have made a mistake and said that by b'no he's not chayiv to support them, but he has a mitzvah to support them. But by bito there's not even a mitzvah. So the Tana writes bito that he's not chayiv, and mele we learn that there's even a mitzvah to support the bas, that there's even a mitzvah to support bito. So essentially what we're saying is we made initially two diukim in our Mishnah. One diuk we made in our Mishnah is that it says that there's no chiv to support the daughter, but implying that there is a mitzvah to support the daughter. That's a good diuk. That one we're accepting. But then we made another diuk. It says that there's no chiv to support the daughter, implying that there is a chiv to support the son. That diuk we're rejecting. No, it does not imply that there is a chiv to support the son. We dafka wanted to highlight that there's no chiv to support the daughter, to highlight the chiddush that there's still a mitzvah to support the daughter, because you would have thought not even that. But really, there's no chiyuv to support the son either. V'ibay same Rabbi Yehuda, or our Mishnah might be following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the chiyuv to support the son is a less obvious chiyuv, or the mitzvah rather to support the son is a less obvious mitzvah than to support the daughters. That if it's a mitzvah lozen asabanim, it's kal v'chomer lebanos. V'achi kamar, and this is what the Mishnah is telling me. Ha'aveinu chayiv b'mezonos bito. The father is not chayiv to support the daughters, even though he has to worry about her bizayon being chazal psachim, the kolshke and the bno, and for sure he has no chiyuv to support the sons. Ha-mitzvah b'b'noika kavlchomer lebanos. But there would be a mitzvah in supporting the sons, and therefore kavlchomer, there's a mitzvah in supporting the daughters. V'adukhtani bito, and the reason the Mishnah Dafka said bito is not because Dafka, a daughter, has a mitzvah to support the daughters, and there's no mitzvah to support the sons. No, ha-kamashmon dafilu bito chavaleka, that you might have thought by the daughters, there's got to be a chiyuv, it's got to be more than a mitzvah. So that's why Dafka says in the Mishnah, no chiyuv to support the daughters, just a mitzvah to support the daughters. Sons also is just a mitzvah. V'ibay seim Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. And then the third possibility is that our Mishnah is assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, that there's no mitzvah on the father to be zon, banav u'benosa v'achi kamar, meaning there's no chiv and no mitzvah. V'achi kamar, and Tanav, our Mishnah is telling us, Eino chayev b'mezonos bito, v'u'adin l'beno, v'u'adin davi l'mitzvah d'amileka, meaning we're rejecting all the diukum we originally made. We originally made a diuk that there's no chiv to mezonos bito, or must be that there is a chiv to support the sons. Not true. No chiv to support the sons. We originally made a deal that there's no chiyuv to support the daughters, but there's a mitzvah to support the daughters. Not true. No mitzvah either. Why then does it say, we don't have to deal with why does it say bas and not ben? We already dealt with that. Why does it say chiyuv and not inu mitzvah? There you have no mitzvah. So because the halacha is that in the ksuba, after he dies, it turns into a chiyuv. He writes in the ksuba that he's chayiv to support the daughters after he dies. So that's why we're using terminology of chiyuv, because that's what that's the terminology that's set forth in the ksuba. So when we talk about what he's not yet obligated in, we also talk about in terminology of chiyuv, but really there's not even a mitzvah. Okay, so that's only daraisa. The question is, did the rabbanan ever come along and make a takana that you need to support your kids, that you need to support your children until at least they become bar bas mitzvah? Some Rabbi Lam Reish Lakish, this introduces us to the first possible of the takana susha. Amar Rabbi Lo Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina Buusha Iskinu Sheyadam Zan Esbanav Vesbanosav Kshem Ktanim. They made a takana in Usha that a person should support his children when they're ketanim. Tosas Dibra Maskel Kshem Ketanim says, but when they're ketanik ketanim, meaning when they're less than 6 years old, then l'kulei alma there's a chiyuv to support them. The takana Usha is between the age of 6 and the age of 12 to continue to support the children between the age of 6 and the age of 12. So Yibayilu Hilchsa Kavasei. Oh, ain't Hilchsa Kavasei. Do we paskin that this in fact was a takana Usha? Meaning if it was a takana Usha, we can't ask. Do we paskin that way or not? They made it takana was a Sanhedrin agadol. Granted, it was in one of the gullios of the Sanhedrin, but there was no bezin gadol b'chacham minyan that's going to overturn such a takana. So the question is, do we accept that this in fact ever was a takana's usha or not? So says Gemara, well, let's see. Historically, how have we dealt with people who have refused to support their children? So if you say, we're going to say that bezin brought them to bezin and forced them to support their children because it's a din, it's a takana's usha, then we'll know that this takana's usha, something that we paskin like that, this in fact was a takana's usha. But if we're going to say that we started telling them, not nice, you should really support your children, or we did other measures without forcing them in Beis Din, so then it's going to tell us that, look, we understand that the moral and right and correct thing to do is to support the children, but it's unenforceable because there was never a formal takana about it. So let's see how it was dealt with. So Tashmak, Yavasal Kamed Rav Yehuda, when there were people who refused to support their children, and they came to Rav Yehuda's Beis Din, Amruluhu, Yarul Yoldav, Abnei Mosa Shadya, a snake gives birth to children and assumes everyone else is going to support the children. So what, you're like that? That's what you're going to do? You're going to bring children into this world and you're not going to support the children? Part of your obligation when you bring children into this world is you need to take care of them. How could you do this? So he gave them a Musar Shmooze. When they came to Rav Chista, again, similar situation, people who refused to support their children. So Rav Chista said, you might think that this never happens. Who would ever refuse to support the children? All the time, in divorce situations, all the time, because it's going to punish the wife if they don't support the children. So it happens all the time. So when they came to Rav Chista, people who refused to worry about supporting their children, they said that take a machteshes, which is a mill that they would use to grind grain that was very difficult, that was very hard to grind, and turn it upside down in public, v'leikum v'leima, stand this man up on that upside down machteshes, meaning make him stand on the soapbox so he'll be taller than everyone will be able to see him, and he'll let him say that even an orev, even a raven is interested in supporting his children, but I, this guy, is not interested in supporting his children. Rashi has two interpretations over here. Is it that we stand him up on the box and we force him to say that, or that Shliach Beis Din gets up on the box and says this man is not supporting his children? He's and we humiliate him publicly by announcing this about him. There's a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Ekev that says that when the Bnei HaOrev are born, they see that actually we'll get to that Medrash in a second. Well, not right now. So anyway, so that's what Rashi says. Why dafka on the machtesha? So the Ritva says it's a siman ra that his mizonos should be very forced and should not come easily to him. Because he's refusing to support his bundles. So says Mar, wait, but does the mashal make sense? We're saying that even a raven supports his children. Vorva bay bunny, is that true? Vaksiv levnei oriv asher yikra'u, that we describe, the pasuk describes how Kadosh Baruch Hu provides mizonos for all living creatures, and even the bnei oriv, where no one else is going to support the bnei oriv, because the oriv is a nachzari on its own children. So he has no because, and the reason he's nachzari on its own children is because when it's born, he doesn't, the Orev doesn't recognize its children as its own children. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that the Orev is going to be supported, is going to have what to eat. The baby raven is going to have what to eat. So don't you see that a raven does not support its own children? So couldn't we come up with a better mushel if we're going to humiliate the guy publicly? Even a raven supports its children, and I don't want to support my children. Why pick an animal that doesn't actually support its children? Says Gemara, no, lo kasha, habu chivri, habu uchmi. That is interesting. White ravens and black ravens. The pasuk of Bnei Orev is speaking about very tiny ravens, the way Rashi learns, very tiny ravens when they're still white. And the father and the mother don't like them because they're white and they don't want to support them. Whereas the Rav Chista is talking about ravens once their feathers have turned black and they're a little bit older. So then the parents take a liking to them and then the mother and the father start supporting them. So Medrash Tanchuma explains that when the Bnei Orev are born and the Orev sees that they're white, the father says to the mother that you must have been impregnated by a different man, because I'm black, you're black, why do we have a white baby? So he doesn't recognize his own child. So that's why the Orev doesn't support the children, because when they're very young, because it's confusing that the baby looks nothing like the parents. The Ritva asks on Rashi, then why didn't the Gemara just say, meaning if the difference between white and black orev is young or old, why didn't it just say that? Habazotri habaravrvi. Why not just say that this is talking about a young one, this is talking about an old one? Why does it have to say white and black? It means you have to know something about birds to understand the Gemara's answer. Just tell me, young bird versus an old bird, and that would be the answer. So Tosos says that it's not about young and old, that there are two types of orvim. There's an orev lavan and an orev shachar, and one of them happens to be oev as banav, and the other other one is Soneis Banav. Which one is which? Doesn't matter. One of them is Oiv is Banav, one of them is Soneis Banav. So the one that we're talking about when the guy stands up and says, even an Oiv supports his children, that's the one that Tapis supports his children. The one that the Pasuk says that a Kodesh Baruch has to support, that's the one that doesn't support its children. But it's interesting, this idea that we have two, first of all, a couple of things. This whole discussion is about whether a person is obligated to support his children. We're going to see the maskaras of the Gemara. The maskaras of the Gemara is no, is that one is not, that this was not a real takanas Musha, one is not obligated to support their children. So the poskim all say, okay, we're not achzarim. You see clearly in the Gemara that that it's the right thing to do when we humiliate someone who doesn't want to support his children. But can you count? Can you use Maisa money for it? Meaning, since like technically on the books, I'm not obligated, so isn't it tzedakah? So can I use my Maisa money to support my children over the age of six? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Hilchos Tzedakah and Yardeis and Reish Mem Tes that even though Chazal say Otsa Tzedakah B'chol Eis Zeh Hazan Banav Menasim K'shem Ketanim, that's the very definition of being of doing Tzedakah B'chol Eis when you support your children. He says it doesn't really count as Tzedakah. You can't use Maisa money for it. He says Chalila to consider it Tzedakah, because if that would be considered Tzedakah, no other Tzedakah would ever get any money. Meaning, if you used all your meaning, you can use all your Maisa money. Most people use more than 10% of their money in supporting their children. So if that's going to be all your Maisa money, then no other tzedakah would ever get any money. And that would be really, really sad. That would be terrible. Rav Moshe has a more halachic argument. Rav Moshe in Yerdeis and Kuf Mem Gimel says that Bizman Azeh, you're not allowed to be Mefarnes children with Maisa money, because the Ran writes that the reason for the Chiv Mizonos when the children are very young is because they're Negrorim Achrei Ha'em, that they rely on the mother, and so part of supporting the mother is making sure that she could take care of the children. So most people, when their children are around the house, the father wants them to be living with the mother, and they're still negrorim achrei ha'em for a very long time after that. So it becomes part of the chiyuv of mizonos ishto is to support the banim that are negrorim achrei ha'em. So Moshe thinks meikra din, it becomes that way. So that's the din of mizonos. So now says the Gemara, ki hava asi l'kamei d'rava. We're still telling stories again. We want to know: is there really a takanas usha that a person has to support his children between the ages of six and bar and bas mitzvah? So we said, well, let's see how it was dealt with. So far we told two stories where people refused and we yelled at them, we gave them musr shmuz, and we humiliated them. So kevyasal came to Rava, when such a case came in front of Rava, amr lei, v'nichalach demitzni banayach mitzdakah, what, you want your children being supported from tzedakah? So Rava also tried to embarrass the guy into supporting his children, but in all those cases, that's all they were able to do, is to try to embarrass the guy. They weren't able to force him to do it because he has no chiyuv to do it. And that's what we pass on Shulchan Aruch of Nezer Simenayin Aleph, the Rambam in 12th Perek of Hilchos Ishus, that there is no chiyuv, lazon asbanav, benosav haktanim. This is not a takanas usha. V'lo amaron el delo amid. But that's only if the guy is not a wealthy guy. Aval amid, but if the man is a wealthy man, kafinu le'el karchei, then we can force him to support his young children. And that's because there's a more general din of kofan al tzedakah. Even if they weren't his children, Bezin could be kofan al tzedakah. Now, they are his own children, so we can force him to give more than his fair share. That's what Beis Yosef quotes at Chuvas HaRashba. Normally, when it's kofan al tzedakah, so every asher takes what their fair share of tzedakah in the community is. But when it's your own children, so then we can force you to do more than your fair share of tzedakah. So kiyad the Rava kafil Rav Nassim Barami vafik mina Avraham Meizuzi l'tzedakah. Just like the story of Rava, he forced Rav Nassim Barami, and he took 400 zuz for tzedakah because you are allowed to be kofal tzedakah. Now, Tosfos raises a question in Dibur Maskal Achve Rava Vim Tomer Heich Kafosu Bishvil Tzedakah Vaksiv Matan Tzchar Betzida Dikhsiv Yivrecha V'Arminim Perakol Basar Kol Mitzvah Shemat Tzchar Betzida Ein Bezen Shlamatim Musar Naleha. Don't we have a rule in Maseches Chulin that anytime you have mitzvah say where the Matan Tzchar of the mitzvah is also written in the Torah right there, Bezen cannot be kofa for such a mitzvah? So how is Rav allowed to be kofa for tzedakah? Tzedakah is also a mitzvah, so say, shematan tzchara b'tzida. So Tosfos says, nah, kofa means that he was kofa b'dvarim. He didn't actually force him, he forced him with words. Or Tosfos says that it could could be that there was this particular takana in that city that you have to pay X amount of money for tzedakah, or X percentage of your salary for tzedakah. So in that sense, since it was the takana's based in that city, so that they're allowed to force on. They're not forcing for the mitzvah d'oraisa of tzedakah. Or it also suggests that by tzedakah there's also a los aseh. So they're forcing on the lav, they're not forcing on the aseh. In Maseches Babasa, Tosafot quotes other answers. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that in this case the person was mekabel on themselves long ago, that whenever I'm not giving enough, I want you to be kofim me. So if he was mekabel on himself, that you're allowed to be kofim, so then you're allowed to be kofim. Tosos Kosa Ritzba, that mitzvah sej matzah skar betzida, ein bezin musharin, means ein bezin is not obligated to force you, and they're not going to be punished if they don't force you. But it's not that they're not authorized to force. Bezin is always authorized to force. So those are the five answers offered by Tosos between here and all the other Rishonim of answers. There are five more answers in Rishonim Achronim why it is that Rava was allowed to be kofa for tzedakah. We're not going to get into the other answers right now, but this question, when it comes to kfil the tzedakah, there's a tshuvas no debiud madur tzinyana yordesim kufn nunches. It's quoted in the Pesachi Tshuva in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. What if a woman notices that her husband doesn't give nearly enough tzedakah? So can she start giving tzedakah from his money without permission? He's not doing his part. He's not doing enough. She's more generous, and she wants to take care of the tzedakah obligations. So Nadavid says, absolutely not. I kofan al tzedakah. He says, yeah, but Bezin could be kofan al tzedakah. Who made her a shofetes that she's going to be kofan al tzedakah? Nadavid says, you're not allowed to do it. However, if the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the woman is not allowed to be a shofetes, but if the Rav Shabir tells her that this is what the Bezin has decided is the proper amount of money for your husband to give for tzedakah, and there's no convincing him to do it, then she can go ahead and do it. But she can't decide on her own how much it ought to be. If the Beis Din or the Rav Ha'ir says this is what it ought to be, then she can go ahead and write the checks for that amount that they think is appropriate. Okay, now we move on to the second Takanas Usha. Amar Rabbi Elazar Reish Lakish, Bu'usha Eskinu, Hakosef Kol Nechasav Lebanav. If a person gives all of his property, all of his possessions to his children, he and his wife can still get mezonos, can still get supported from those possessions, even though he gave it all up. He gave it all to his children. So sometimes people do that for tax reasons or whatever. They want to buy an airline in Israel or whatever. So you give all the money to the children because you need. So now he's going to be starving. No, hu banav nizonos mehem. He and his children can get mezonos from it. So maslan Rabbi Zera v'item Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmani gedolim izu amru. They said even greater than this, even more than this, that almanaso nizonos min chasav. So hu v'ishto mibayi, meaning the chacham already said a bigger chiddush, that if a person dies and he leaves a wife and a daughter, the halacha is that the daughter yarshins his nechasim, and let's say that daughter gets married. So now that the husband, the son-in-law, has a din of a lokeach in the yerusha, and normally the almana is not allowed to get mizonos from a lokeach, from the chasim shubadim. She's not allowed to get supported because we're afraid that no one's going to ever want to be a lokeach, because it's going to stifle all transactions. So normally she's not allowed to get support from a lokeach. But an almana is allowed to get supported from such a lokeach, because he's not really a lokeach. He's a husband of the daughter. So even though he's like a lokeach, so we say the almana could get mezonos from that. Even the almana, he's not even around anymore. So who v'ishtom ibayim, when he's still around, and the son is there, and he gave all of his nechasim to his son, who also didn't pay a penny for them. It was all given to him. So of course he's going to be able to get mezonos. So the Gemara explains, how do I know that an almana gets support in this way? The shalach Ravin b'igarta, Ravin says, if someone dies and he leaves over an almana and a daughter, the almana gets supported from the Yerusha based on the Tanaik Suba, but even if the daughter gets married and now the husband is like a lokeach in the Yerusha, still the almana can get supported. That the husband is not like a lokeach in that regard. He's like a yoresh. And since he's only like a yoresh, it's not considered a chasim shubadim, and the almana could still get supported. Mesa Habas. What happens though if the daughter dies and now her husband is actually Yoresh all these Nechasim, including the Nechasim that came by Yerusha from her father? So can the Almana continue to get support from those Nechasim, just since it all comes from the Yerusha of the father, and she had a Zuchus in that money? money? Or do we say that the husband now is like a total stranger, and it's like nechasim u'shabadim, and the alman is not in his own nechasim u'shabadim? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Achos, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, al yadi ha'yamaisa, that I had such a din, I had such a case, va'amru, and the chacham and paskin in such a case, almanaso nizonus min nechasav, that an almana can be nizonus min nechasav, even in that case, even if meisa habas. So now, if when the man dies, his almana gets support from his nechasim, and even when his daughter dies, the almana continues to get support from the nechasim. Who vishto mi bayi? You need to tell me that if he's still alive and he gave everything to his children. So it's what's the chiddush? So it says we're no mal detei mahasim with the lekha detarach aval hacha nitzrach lidei lidida kamash milan. I might have thought that it's different because in that case where he's no longer alive, who else is going to support his almana? So that's why we make a takana that the Yerusha has to support the almana. But in our case, where he gave everything to his children, let him go to work. So let him get a job, and he'll support himself and his wife. So kamash milan, that he still gets mizonos from the nechasim that he gave to his children. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the bayilim.